KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
As you know from listening to ABQ Connect, we really emphasize education, and we want to do the best for our listeners to direct them in ways that their kids can learn and grow and understand all the things about education that they can. And we've got Estancia Valley Classical Academy. Jennifer Rowan is here with us. She's the executive director. Kathy Bryson is the new upper school director. And student Samuel Bentley, sophomore?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we've been getting to know each other a little bit, and I appreciate you all being here. Let's jump right into, Ms. Rowan, what is a classical education compared to what all of us, I was a public school kid in the Albuquerque public schools. How is what I did different than a classical education?
That is a great question, and it has a somewhat complex answer. However, the simplest answer I can give is classical education really incorporates the idea of learning character, learning how to be a good person, along with academics. There are some other facets of it. So, for example, we do some, I guess, what would be considered traditional aspects of teaching. A lot of the classroom interaction should be discussion and questions and Socratic questioning, where students are really encouraged to think critically and think deeply about topics, and then be able to have conversations and explain their answers and explain what they think while using evidence. Along with the other, you know, some traditional aspects, we still teach cursives. We still put an emphasis on learning facts like math, multiplication tables. So learning facts really in order to then go on to use those facts to do deeper.
So if a student like Samuel, maybe he can answer this after I ask you or Kathy, a student that has grown up with, I'm holding up a cell phone right now. They know about social media. I didn't grow up with any of this. Neither did my five kids. I mean, kind of had cell phones toward the end of my five kids graduating from high school, but that really wasn't a big thing to worry about. Now, Samuel's got access to a whole bunch of information through his computer or a cell phone. If you go to EVCA, would you grow up with the ability to have discernment about what's real and what's fake?
I would say that's one of our ultimate goals. That's one of the reasons why we use primary source documents, because it's really important to learn what was the original writing on that, what are the facts of that, and then to be able to discern what type of sources are just giving opinion on those primary sources, and is that sufficient for me to use as evidence in my own argument, or is that, you know, somebody else's opinion on an argument? So being able to discern sources, what sources are, I don't want to say relevant, but are trustworthy.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot, Kathy. It's not on our little list.
Okay.
But Jennifer Rowan, your boss, is saying that we want to teach people how to be a good person. Well, you know, everybody's listening to this on a Christian radio station, so we have our perspective on what a good person is. But there are people that don't share our faith that are listening to the show, going to your school, et cetera. So I want to ask you, is being a good person just letting people do whatever they want?
Absolutely not. We spend a lot of time, we have 8 character pillars that we talk about at our school. They're literally emblazoned on the walls of the courtyard. And we talk about citizenship and cooperation and perseverance and integrity and respect in everything we do. We have a flag ceremony every morning where the students say the pledge, sing some sort of a patriotic song. We talk about the character pillars along with announcements and other things. All of the discussions, the Socratic discussions and things that we have often revolve around the morality of the story or whatever's happening in that story. A lot of character discussion goes into what we're doing. It's not just kind of a whatever feels right, do it kind of thing. We really try to teach the kids that there is truth and there is a standard of behavior and ethics that can be across the board regardless of your religious beliefs.
Gotcha. Samuel, what's your favorite thing to study?
Probably rhetoric.
Ah.
We have a rhetoric class that I was taking this year, and it greatly helped me in my studies of speech and debate.
Mm-hmm. You and I have something in common. My favorite class in college was the rhetoric of dissent. Mm. I loved listening to dissenters. Some would give a perspective that the dissent rhetoricians of the day when I was growing up, like Dr. Martin Luther King, at one time they would call them evil. And we've since found out that's not really the case. They were, you know, standing up for the rights of people that couldn't necessarily defend themselves. Now, are human beings always going to do the right thing? No, we're all going to make mistakes and have flaws. But it's interesting to me to see in history how people that have, you know, taken actions that were not, I guess, cool to the culture were often seen, you know, in a light that probably wasn't accurate. So let's go to the next question. Amazing results you've had. You mentioned, Kathy, I think you said that the school's just recently graduated a couple of students that have been in your system from kindergarten all the way through high school.
Yes.
And would you say that they've had to spend an exorbitant amount of money being part of your school in that time?
Not at all. We are a free public charter school. So just like any other public school, they get to come for free. And there are some fees here and there that are associated with any public school, but it's not private school tuition or anything like that.
Yeah, I want to emphasize to everybody, if you're looking for great schools, you don't necessarily have to go to a very highly priced private school. I mean, there are some great options, which is why you're on the radio with us right now. Tell me about teachers in general, Ms. Rowan, about what do teachers that come into your system tell you is the hardest thing about being an educator?
Ooh, that's a tough question because we're dealing with humans, right? And so if you're a classroom teacher and you've been interacting with the school system, there's a lot of humans, right? The students and families and other teachers. For the most part, those are things that can be very positive. And I think some of the struggles that are coming about for teachers now have to do with maybe even external pressures or external, I don't know what, has to do with pop culture. I can't think of the word, but
I gave you an example.
Influences.
I gave you an example before we started of coaching. I've asked my friends, how come you're not coaching anymore? And they've said to me, well, if I could coach a team of orphans, so I didn't have to deal with the parents, I would coach in a heartbeat. But parents are sometimes a lot. So you're the executive director. You have to hire teachers and stuff like that. What do you look for? What kind of person fits into your system?
I look for teachers who genuinely care about the students they teach. Mm. Because that piece, caring about the students you teach, that encompasses a wide variety of events that happen, right? There's students who are going to struggle. What is that going to look like from a teacher point of view? Are you going to help that student? Are you going to overly help that student, right? Like there's a line of caring where you're going to be supportive, but still have this expectation that in order to grow, I can't do it for you. I can't give you the answers. You've got to learn to persevere. However, if the expectation is, well, you're going to persevere and, you know, the expectation is just for you to do it yourself, that's the same kind of difficult, but the other side of that, right? So there has to be this moderation of action that comes with caring.
I love it. Jennifer Rowan is the executive director of Estancia Valley Classical Academy. Kathy Bryson is the new upper school director. Couple weeks?
Yeah.
But I've you've been
teaching
at
there
the
for 6 years. Yeah. So I'm kind of moving into a different position.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
And I will say that Samuel's dad is none too happy that you're not going to be teaching math anymore. So how do we get a good math teacher in there?
We look for people who care about the kids and are willing to help them. I mean, obviously, skills are, you know, important, knowing the material. But I think that teachers who can really love their jobs and love the kids and care about what they're doing, you can help the skills part if you need to. That part you can't do without.
So we're going to talk to Samuel a little bit more about the environment for students, but you're also trying to create an environment that's really good for teachers.
Yes.
What kind of things are different for a teacher than they would maybe in another situation?
I think for all of our teachers, kind of what Ms. Rowan was talking about, the standard that we raise for the students, you don't find that everywhere. You have teachers who maybe do the bare minimum and, you know, teachers who do too much or whatever. We spend a lot of time making sure that we're holding high expectations, but we're helping the kids get to that. And there's a good sense of community among the teachers there to help each other out, give each other ideas, talk through issues and problems that arise. I think we're much more kind of a close-knit family than maybe a lot of schools are.
Samuel, I suspect that if Ms. Rowan and Ms. Bryson didn't think you were here to tell everybody about the great things at EVCA, you probably wouldn't be here. what do you want to tell people and talk to their parents or talk to their grandparents now about why it might be a good place for their student to grow up and be educated?
Well, like Ms. Bryson was saying, it's kind of small and it's like a family. And it's really difficult, so these students can kind of talk together and help
each other. Okay, now wait a minute. You just said that being a student was really difficult. You mean you got to do homework and you actually have to read and all of that?
Yeah.
And you actually like that?
Yeah, it's good for the character.
So how did you get an interest in learning? Because I know some people that have not, maybe that's a parent thing. You know, they don't grow up with an interest in learning necessarily. Is that something that most of your friends at the school have? They have an interest in learning?
Yeah, I would say so. I would also,
like, for example, so I wasn't the greatest student. I mean, just honestly. But I figured out, after my sophomore year in high school, I kind of started getting interested in rhetoric and really interested in history and, you know, things that our forefathers intended, you know, for our country. And so I like the fact that EVCA is really teaching American history mm-hmm. and what our forefathers intended. So when did you start developing? Did you always want to learn? I mean, when you were in elementary school, in grammar school, you call it grammar school. Mm-hmm. What's the middle school called?
It's part of our upper school.
It's part of your upper school. So you've just developed this. It's almost like the culture at EVCA, it's cool to learn. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, partly.
Yeah. Well, good stuff. We have a guest today from Estancia Valley Academy, Jennifer Rowan. She's the executive director. Kathy Bryson, the new upper school director. And Samuel Bentley, he is a sophomore at the upper school. So we have them all the way till 2 o'clock. Hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Oh, I always love when we're coming back and I don't have my headphones on or the microphone in front of my face. This is Jim Williams with you on ABQ Connect. Thank you for joining us today on this very nice and cool Monday, at least in Albuquerque. You don't know exactly how it is up in the East Mountains. Was it raining?
It was raining earlier. Yeah, it's pretty cloudy.
There's nothing like the smell after the rain up in the mountains.
Completely agree with that.
It's
one of my favorites.
Now, where is Estancia Valley Classical Academy located?
We are in Edgewood, New Mexico.
Okay, so I'm taking the freeway up to Harris, get to the Edgewood exit. Where am I going?
You just get right off I-40, the Edgewood exit, you turn left. Is that 344, and then you pass a Walmart, and we're right directly there on the east side of the road.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
So you're actually kind of on, that's the frontage road that's along the south side of I-40?
No, it's a north-south road.
Oh, it's a north-south road. Yeah. Okay.
It's right at the Edgewood exit. It's about a mile north of
I'm picturing, oh, so it's north of the freeway. Okay, yeah. That's why I was screwed up, because I know the Walmart, I know where that is.
Yes, it's right next to the Walmart. So it's mainly, it's all interstate from Albuquerque until you get off the off on the exit.
And some people might think, because most public schools have districts where you have to live in the area, but that's not true with EVCA, right?
That's correct. We have students, if you are interested in attending the CNC Valley Classical Academy, you basically can. We have students from the surrounding areas in the East Mountains. We also have students who attend from Albuquerque. I know we've had students attend from as far away as Rio Rancho. So if the interest is there, it's just a matter of
okay, talk to us about the process. Your website is theevca.com.
Correct.
Theevca.com. Tell us about that website.
Correct.
How you register if you're interested.
So there's great information on our website. So if you're just looking for where do I go if I want to sign up my student, you go to theevca.com, and on the top there is a button that just says enrollment. So if you click on that, there's a paragraph that gives kind of information, but really there's a yellow button. You click it and it has you, it's called a letter of intent. That's actually a deceiving title, because there's no letters that are necessary. It's really just a registration process. You enter the name and the grade of your student and you hit submit. And then one of two things will happen. You, if there is an empty seat in the grade level that your student is going to go into, then your student will receive a seat and you will receive an email that says just that. And then there's information about how to officially register. If there are no open seats, you'll still get an email back that your student will be placed on the wait list. Depending on how many students are already on the wait list, you would just get the next seat and then just kind of wait and see when a seat opens. We are in the summer, which is when we do see kind of the most flux. Some families have to, you know, move out of state or move out of town that weren't expecting to give up a seat. So If you are interested and you're placed on the wait list, that does not mean that you won't get a seat. It just means that we're kind of waiting for things to flex to see if a seat opens up.
So, Kathy, talk to us about the upper school. There's some demand for these seats, these positions in the school. A credit to all of you. I mean, you're doing a good job. Samuel's out there telling all kinds of people. I'm just teasing him. You don't have to be the marketing guy, but you kind of are because you're in school there.
Yeah.
Kathy, tell us about, you know, if you want to get involved with the school, but there is a wait list now, maybe you need to apply and even be ready for not this upcoming school year, but the following school year.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a difficult process to transfer or to enroll?
No, I don't think so. The enrollment process is basically like at any school with just, you know, registration and information. If someone is planning on coming, definitely they want to make sure, you know, if it does have to be wait a year or something, that they're doing well in all of the subjects that they are currently taking. We do have, you know, pretty rigorous standards. So as students come in high school, sometimes they might have to take a different credit than they were expecting, because we have some different classes than maybe a regular public school would offer, like British literature or something like that, that maybe wouldn't transfer exactly from where they're coming from. But we do have plenty of people that work with students and figure out, you know, what they can fit into their schedule and how they can manage to get the credits that they need.
I'm going to go back to something Samuel Bentley told us. Samuel's a guest with us today on ABQ Connect. He's a student at Estancia Valley Classical Academy, a sophomore, has been involved with the school since he was in kindergarten. I teased you. I didn't mean, you don't know me, so I probably shouldn't tease people, but you said that some things were hard. And then off the air, I said, look, I get the perception that you could probably handle anything that's thrown at you, because you've learned that, and you're not afraid of I'm going to say hard work. Americans culturally now have this thing where if something is hard, they use the word confused. Oh, I'm confused because this is hard. Well, it's kind of like pain. They're not confused. They just don't know. So they're not confused. They just need to learn. Do you feel like you're able to, like, could you have a discussion about politics today, knowing what you know about going on in America? Could you talk to somebody about how we should treat our fellow students? Can you have those kind of discussions because of your education?
Yeah, definitely.
And you can stick up for people that can't stick up for themselves, and you can, So I admire all of that. During the break, we were talking about some other things that you're doing that are kind of outside of school. You're competing in speech debate.
Yes, speech and debate. I'm part of that group. It's starting up at our school. It's small as of now, but
and you had some success though this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all a New Mexico Activities Association thing, those kind of competitions? I know they govern all the sports stuff, but I don't know how the rest of it works. Do you guys have...
I think the Speech and Debate Club is. What competition did you guys do for Speech and Debate this year?
We did three this year. We did this one tournament, I forgot where, but it was close to the middle of the year. We also did the national qualifying tournament and the state tournament.
And how's that work? They give you a topic and you have to take a certain position?
Yeah, there's a lot of different types of speech and debate. I do humorous interp where I take a story, memorize it, and I make it humorous. But a lot of my friends do a debate where they're given a topic and they defend a pro or a con side.
Okay. I didn't know about this other way. And you did well. You finished second in the competition?
Mm-hmm.
So are you like me in that you want to just crush everybody next year as a junior and win the whole thing?
Yeah.
I love that. Hey, Jennifer, as the executive director, what's an experience? What can parents expect for their students at EVCA? He used the word hard. I don't want people to be nervous about that, but it's almost like he's saying you can count on the fact you're going to learn at EVCA.
That's true. And there's one thing that I want to emphasize, and I want to emphasize it to parents as a positive. The students are going to struggle.
Mm.
That's a positive. You cannot grow. You cannot get stronger. You cannot learn things if you don't struggle. And if you are, it's not authentic. So an expectation would be that the students are going to struggle, and to understand that that's an okay thing. It's not a bad thing. I would advocate that it's best to learn to struggle successfully when you're younger, as opposed to when you get out in the real world as an adult and for the first time have to learn how to struggle through something. So I will say that that is something that people can expect. However, it is a student struggling with a community of support of people who care about that student. So it's safe struggle, and it's a positive thing.
Safe struggle. I like that word. Because it's like you said, our coaches used to say there's no gain without pain.
Correct.
you got to learn some of that. Kathy, you're the director of the upper school. So you have middle school students and high school students.
Yes.
Tell us how the whole school is structured, if you would.
Our grammar school is kindergarten through sixth grade. So we're not maybe what New Mexicans would think of as a middle school. We do include sixth grade in our grammar school. And so then upper school is seventh grade through 12th grade.
Seventh through 12th. Any problems with... seventh graders interacting with people that have lots of hormones?
The seventh grade is a difficult time across the board, everywhere you go. We do have a lot of older students who like to try to help the seventh graders find their way and learn how to interact in life with everyone else around them. Seventh grade is a real time of learning for them, not only just, how to walk down the halls without annoying everybody, but also how to change classes and have different teachers and keep track of everything. And build friendships. All of that happens.
I'm going to pick on Samuel again. Could you have a conversation with a younger student about, like, yeah, I remember when my voice changed? You've been through changes, haven't mm-hmm. you? Getting older. I mean, are you comfortable with helping younger students?
Yeah. Yeah. There's just a couple halls. And so every passing period, you're walking right next to them. And oftentimes you'll see them needing help or something. And an older upper schooler can help the seventh graders really easily.
Yeah.
And it's nice.
I love that. Jennifer, I'm going to skip down my list here and just ask you, as we're talking to Kathy and Samuel about this, are students safe at EVCA?
Absolutely. That one I can say absolutely without hesitation. There's multiple reasons, kind of multifaceted, right? In general, is the school safe? I would argue that we are one of, if not the safest school in the state. The school building itself, all of the doors remain locked. There is one main entrance to get into the building for public, and that's fenced off. There's actually a gate that you have to buzz and be allowed in to get into the front office. In addition to that, we actually do have two armed security guards who are at the school full time, and they have such an amazing rapport with the students. It's great. They have students, they call them the lunch bunch, but they have, you know, just kind of a group that they hang out with and help support at lunchtime. But they know the community, they know the students know them, and it is a safe school. And then in addition to that, like I said, right, what we want to have staff and faculty who really care about the students. So if there is something going on, if there is a concern that a student has, we want to know about it and address it immediately. We also have an anonymous reporting system. So if there is a student, for whatever reason, doesn't want to go to a faculty or staff member face to face and discuss a problem, they can report it anonymously through an app.
You are listening to ABQ Connect, and this afternoon we're with Jennifer Rowan, the executive director, Kathy Bryson, the new upper school director, and Samuel Bentley, a student at Estancia Valley Classical Academy. When we come back, we're going to hear about from Jennifer about some of the history, because it's been around for a while, and we want to tell people about it a little bit. And then in our last segment, we're going to talk about measuring success in science, technology, engineering, mathematics, all that kind of stuff. So stay with us. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
You know, one of the hardest things about hosting a radio show is that during the breaks, you talk about all kinds of great stuff. You got to make people talk about when they're on the radio. And so sometimes I make the mistake, I'll ask a guest a question that we just talked about during the break, and they'll think in their brain, well, I just told you that. Well, you got to say it to everybody. Let's go to Jennifer. Jennifer Rowan is the executive director of Estancia Valley Classical Academy. How long has the school been around?
We just finished our 13th year.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've earned some credibility.
Yes.
You've got close to a full house. You do have openings. Again, we've talked about, go to theevca.com.
Yes.
If you're interested in a classical education, it is a public school that is free, no tuition.
Correct.
When I say free, there's some fees and stuff, but no different than a typical public school.
Correct. And I do want to make sure I let everybody know that it is the summer. So you might be thinking, you know, you can't go see the school or things like that. But we have staff on campus throughout the summer. So if somebody is even interested and they want to see the school, if they want to take a tour, if they maybe want to start the registration process but need some help, we are more than happy to do that and facilitate meetings. And I am more than happy to facilitate tours if people might be interested and want to see it before they make a decision.
I was reading on your website, the founders of your school are a group of professionals, parents, educators, and young adults discontented with the downward trend in literacy, academic, civil, and cultural, and the upward trend in high-risk behaviors in America. Who are these people that got together?
That sounds pretty accurate. Yes. So it was a group, and I have had the pleasure of meeting most of the people who founded the school. But it was, I mean, gosh, it was a couple of moms. There's a literal rocket scientist and his son who were some of the founders. There is a retired school teacher who was one of the founders, just some community members. And my understanding is they just kind of started having conversations with each other about the trend that education was following at that time. And then one of them happened to see a posting from Hillsdale College where they were doing a call for proposals for charter schools around the country. And the timing, it really was miraculous. There is not another term for it. They saw this posting, this group got together, they decided, well, we'll try it. And so they put in their proposal for a school, and they were actually chosen.
And so, Hillsdale provides you with your curriculum.
They do. So at this time, we are a Hillsdale curriculum school, which means they provide us a curriculum guide, and that it has a pacing guide. It has primary texts that are recommended to use for courses. And so we can follow that curriculum guide that's provided by Hillsdale and has that curriculum in it.
You know, I have some familiarity with this part of it. I've taken a number of courses from Hillsdale. The first one I took, which is free, is their Constitution 101 course.
Yes.
And that's an amazing course. I mean, you will learn about real American history, stuff that I never knew about. Like, for example, you know, people back when we had all the woke stuff and COVID and all that going on, there were a bunch of criticisms about Thomas Jefferson being a slaveholder, and that's why we ought to not recognize him as one of our founding fathers. But what I learned when I took the course is that Thomas Jefferson was largely the author of the Declaration of Independence, and he was profoundly aware that all men were created equal. That's what he wrote. But it was paradoxical that he also had over 40 slaves. 8 years after he wrote that, he comes out with a letter that he writes to an assembly in Virginia, and he says there's three problems with slavery. The first one is slaves and their children will grow to hate this country. Well, this is a guy that owns slaves that's writing this. I mean, I find this really fascinating. He knew the difference between right and wrong. And then number two, he says that people that owned slaves, people that lorded over other people's lives, didn't just think they were better than their slaves. They think they're better than everybody. He's talking about himself. And then the thing that was most profound in my mind, because I'm a person of faith, is he said if there were a war, and they recognized slaves as being highly intelligent, very capable, and they were afraid that the slaves would rebel. Mm-hmm. And he said, if there ever is a war between slaves and slaveholders, God will not be on the side of slaveholders. And again, you are allowing people to have their own faith, whatever that might be. When the founders put together this group, they didn't ask if they were a certain faith or denomination or even believers. They just had people that commonly wanted to create a classical, they appreciate the United States, they appreciate what our country stands for, and they wanted to put something together like that. So, you know, I have my own opinions about how I want to share my faith with people personally, but I think what you guys are doing is really amazing, and I think it is fantastic. Talk to us about some fun stuff. You guys have kids participating in sports, fine arts, and music programs?
We do. So I do want to make sure I state that EVCA does not have our own sports teams. We have an archery team. We have some other types of teams, like Sam said earlier, speech and debate. But as far as NMAA sports, Our students play for whatever district they live in. So students can still play any sport that they want. They just attend the practices and play for the school of the district.
For example, you have kids in the upper school that are playing at Moriarty High School.
That's correct.
Yes. And with some success.
Yes, very much success. Yes.
I love that. Talk to us about your experience singing in front of people, Samuel.
So I was in the musical theater class this year. We also had a music choir class last semester. Quarter, actually.
Is that hard?
Yeah.
I mean, are you, I guess I'm asking if you're pushed. You know, I think there's different, you know, we can all in our mind, probably wrongly, so this is really a comment about my own character flaws. I'm thinking about a high school musical and I don't have very high expectations. But your teachers, it sounds like, are going to push you to excellence.
Definitely. We had a really great teacher this year, actually. She really helped us. It was really awesome.
They did The Sound of Music, and I think that it was probably one of the best high school plays I've ever seen.
I was impressed.
Really good.
I went and watched it, and I'm going to tell you, I was like, oh my gosh, this is better than I was very impressed. You guys did an amazing job.
Yeah, and how much practice? I mean, what was kind of like the schedule? Did you have to put in hours of rehearsal and stuff?
Yes, definitely. We had, for the first half of the quarter, we were kind of just getting down lines, getting everything memorized, getting the feel of things, getting everything blocked.
And so stuff. You're in a class. Is there a little pressure? You got to recite your lines in front of everybody else. Was that hard?
It was probably hard for a lot of other people, but it wasn't very challenging for me.
Yeah, cool. Was it fun?
Yes, it was very fun. I love acting, and I love doing other stuff like that. It was very fun.
I love that. I'm gonna go to Kathy now. How do you measure success in science, technology, engineering, mathematics? Because the classical education is really going to actually focus on learning those things and preparing you for a career, college,
yeah, absolutely. A lot of our measurements are typical of most schools, you know, SAT scores, state test scores. We consistently score higher than most of the school districts around us, I believe. And then we have a lot of testimonials of kids who have graduated. I know of one who just graduated with a biomedical engineering degree and landed a prime position on the East Coast working on prosthetics. And we have students that are engineers and scientists, you know, looking for jobs at Sandia, internships.
What if you have an aspiration to be in the trades, like be a contractor or be a... maybe a mechanic. Is EVCA a good place to go if you want that kind of career?
I think so. We at this time don't have a lot of classes that deal with that, but I really believe that the more you know, the better you are at whatever you do. Mm. And so the science and technology, even if you're just planning on being a welder or a mechanic, whatever it is, those things will still just make you a better rounded person, give you a wider knowledge base that you might need.
I love that. Kathy Bryson is the director or the upper school director is the way I should say that. Jennifer Rowan is the executive director of the whole school. Samuel Bentley is a sophomore at the upper school at the Estancia Valley Academy. When we come back, we're going to talk about students that have moved forward to college. I hope you've heard back from some of them and we'll share some of those stories. And then I want to know, to kind of close our program, what are questions that parents should ask and you've heard them ask about coming to your school? We'll be back after these messages. Stay right with us.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Jennifer Rowan, Kathy Bryson, and Samuel Bentley in studio with us. Samuel's a student at Estancia Valley Academy, EVCA, affectionately known. Their website is thevca.com. You can find out all kinds of information, or you can call 505-431-3822 if you're interested in classical education. And this public school is free. I shouldn't say free, because there's little things you have to pay for, but there's no tuition. It's just like any other public school, but frankly, with a standard of excellence and a different curriculum. I don't even know what most public schools – I will tell you this. In public school, which I was a product of, I don't remember ever being pushed. I don't remember ever there being a standard of excellence. And it sounds like you really do have that going on at EBCA.
That really is our expectation. I won't just say for the students, for everybody. We want to set good examples. We want our students to be good examples to each other, and then in the future as well as to themselves. So,
yeah, Samuel, your parents have to participate with you in order for you to have success. Do you get good support from your parents?
I do get good support from my parents. They don't necessarily have to, but it is nice to have them.
Yeah. Well, and they have a little experience because you have a few brothers and sisters, don't you?
Yes, I do.
So they've got a good background in doing that. I admire where parents are able to do that, but I guess I should ask the question, and maybe Kathy, I'll direct this to you. Could a parent feel like you're supporting their efforts to raise their kids?
Absolutely, I think so. Our focus on character pillars and morals and ethics, I think, really, you know, supports parents as they try to teach their kids how to be good human beings. And, you know, obviously the academics are a great thing as well, but really we try to focus on the child as a whole, not just what they're learning academically.
Jennifer, you've had kids move on successfully to college. Can you give us some examples?
Yes, we've had students move on actually to multiple different areas and be successful. Some of those are college. I know Miss Bryson had the example that she gave before of
biomedical engineering.
And I know of one young lady who she just got accepted into nursing school at Grand Canyon University this past year. She just started those. I know we have two brothers who received internships in Washington, D.C. over this summer. They're both attending Texas Tech this
we
past
some
school
who go
year.
Into the military. We
yes.
have a few in the Air Force.
Yes.
And we do have some that go into trades as well.
Now, do you have somebody on campus that can kind of help, like when Samuel's a senior, walk through scholarships and other things that are available?
We have a student life coordinator, and we do have a weekly newsletter. It's called the Lantern Newsletter. And so we post scholarship opportunities for all of the students in that newsletter. Mm-hmm. But I will say, if a student has interest in going somewhere, we will absolutely support the student in any way that we can. But as far as telling them about all of the different opportunities, it's really for them to go out and seek what they're interested in. And then we can support them in that. We do have a student life coordinator who can help with those tasks.
Samuel, I'm a native New Mexican. I stayed here in New Mexico. Your dad, before the show, was sharing some things about your family. And all of your siblings have moved out of the state.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to be hard on you, man. I want you to stay in New Mexico. I want you to make our state better. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to hold you to it, but what do you think needs to change about New Mexico to keep you here?
That's a good question.
I mean, like, for example, your dad worked at Sandia. Do you feel like there's enough, and I don't know how to phrase it because I'm not the intellectual that, obviously, your dad is an engineer, is there enough cool stuff happening at Sandia that you would want to be an engineer there?
Yeah, definitely. I do plan on staying and possibly working at Sandia Labs too.
Yeah. Well, and people don't realize all the really amazing things that have come out of our state. You know, the science, the engineering, the design, the music and culture. I mean, there's just a lot. And I always put a pitch in for people to stay in New Mexico. I think more of us need to be in New Mexico. That's not to criticize anyone who has left, because two of my five children have left. And I love them, and they have some success where they are, but I wish they were here, especially as their dad, right? And having grandchildren. Let's talk a little bit about parents.
Absolutely.
What kind of things do parents, should they ask, and have you heard from them? Talk about that.
Yes, absolutely. And so that's such a good question, because there are some important things that parents would need to know. One of the most frequently asked questions is there homework? I know that at some places there is this kind of push to get away from homework, but we do have homework. So that is an expectation. And I know that you asked Ms. Bryson earlier about, is the school really, you know, helping to raise the child? I will say yes. However, the parent is still the primary teacher. And that's so important for the parents and the families to, you know, to understand that we want to come alongside and we want to do this as a partnership. And we will support you, but, you know, we need your support as well. So, there is homework. It's also important for me to let people know that we do not have a cafeteria. So one of the things is that the students have to bring their own lunch every day, and a water and a snack. We also do not provide transportation. So that is something that they need to know. We do have parents who carpool, and we are happy to make those connections if necessary. So if something like lunches or transportation is a reason why somebody wouldn't come, we definitely want to know that so we can work to help provide those things as much as we can. The students also wear a uniform. So that's important to know, because we do have a uniform drive every school year prior to school starting. So if families, you know, need to just come get some clothing for uniforms, we have that. We don't want there to be barriers that we can help solve that would be a reason why somebody wouldn't come. So biggest thing is communication. If there are questions that parents have that I'm not addressing, biggest thing is communication. Ask the questions. We want to be supportive. I genuinely believe that having students who can think for themselves, who can think critically and go on and be good citizens is so important. And it's just becoming, you know, more important as it becomes harder to tell fact from fiction. So it's critical. And so if parents want their students to attend, if there's any barriers, we will do our utmost to help.
You know, I had an experience with my kids in school that at some level I was not able to help them with their homework. You know, when they got to be sophomore Samuel's age, I had no idea how to help them with calculus or you know, even algebra 2. And then I was joking around, but I really wasn't joking. When I had statistics myself in college, I had no clue. And then when my kids were doing that in high school, I just had no idea. So blessed to have you guys here. Estancia Valley Classical Academy can be reached through their website at theevca.com, or you can give them a call at 505-431-3822. Jennifer, Kathy, Samuel, thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
It was great.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.